Panelists urge the U.S. embargo on Cuba be lifted and diplomatic, economic, and scientific relations be restored between the two neighbors. Cuba doesn't have an ambassador to the United States, but their general counselor in the United States, Yanio Gonzalez Lopez, sees the blockade of Cuba as the biggest obstacle in healthy diplomatic relationships.
This kind of policy causes a lot of suffering for our people, and without this kind of obstacle, vital to try to develop a more normal relation between our countries.
Gonzalez Lopez also raised concerns about the U.S. military base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. He said because the agreement for the base was made with a pre-revolution government, Cuba does not recognize the pact, and he called for further discussion with the U.S. government on the issue. However, Peter Kornbluh from the National Security Archives says Cuba is a low presidential priority, despite Barack Obama's pre-election promise to lead a dialogue with Cuba.
If Obama was serious about improving the ambience of U.S.-Cuban relations, he would do the things that a president can do. First and foremost, he would take Cuba off the list of sponsors of terrorism, where it doesn't belong. That list is shameful. I mean, if another country kept a list, the United States would be on it, given the criteria that they use on Cuba. Cuba right now is hosting talks between the FARC and the Colombian government. They may end up being the key actor in ending one of the most violent conflicts in the region, which has been fraught with terrorism.
According to Kornbluh, friendship between the U.S. and Cuba could bring changes to Cuba faster than the failed 50-year embargo. The former chief of staff for Colin Powell, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, revealed that Pentagon does not consider Cuba to be a threat even though it's on a list of terrorist countries. He also outlined what needs to happen to fix foreign policy with Cuba.
We must become more collaborative, cooperative, engaged, and we must lead with other elements of our power than our military. Today, the rest of the world looks at us as poised with a bayonet and a rifle and a bomb or a drone to either interfere with their sovereignty, interfere with their people, or worse, even kill their people. We are killing people with drones right now across the face of the globe in the name of counterterrorism. We need to return to the days when we led with what we call soft power, diplomacy, politics, economics, trade, finance, culture, and so forth, and put the military back in its sheath.
You've talked today about how Cuba does their diplomacy by sending the healthcare practitioners all around the world to help people in distress. There was a similar situation here in America in 2005 during Hurricane Katrina.
Yes, and the Cubans offered help.
They were ready to send the doctors to New Orleans, and they met with resent.
No one would even speak to them from the United States government in an official capacity. And when they did get an answer, it was a resounding no. And that's just absurd. It's absurd. They have great talent. They showed it in Haiti, for example. They showed it in Pakistan. They have great talent at doing that. And to turn them down is just nonsense. And I'm sure had the state of Louisiana and the governor and the mayor of New Orleans been the party to ask and to say yes, they would have said, come, please.
Dan Whittle from the Environmental Defense Fund says U.S. should care about the fate of Cuba's environment as well, because Cuban and Floridian ecosystems are deeply connected.
It's in our interest to ensure that if Cuba develops oil in its waters, that it does so in the right way. Because if there's a major spill, the impacts from the spill will be far greater potentially than the impacts from BP, because Cuban oil fields are so much closer to Florida. So it's in our interest to get it right, but also as a environmentalist, I'm interested in what happens in Cuba as well. Cuba has some of the richest biodiversity in the entire region. Its seagrasses and mangroves and coral reefs provide habitat for fish that eventually come to the U.S. So I'm also concerned, not just about U.S. waters, but about Cuban shorelines.
Before the seminar, Tampa area member of Congress Kathy Castor pointed out that she supports an end to the embargo. A panelist, Wayne Smith from Johns Hopkins University and the Center for International Policy, reacted to a Friday night reception speech by Representative Castor.
Well, I think she's calling for improved relations with Cuba for engagement, and that's the main thing. If we're going to bring about change, we have to engage, we have to talk, we have to discuss. We can't stand in the background anymore and refuse to talk, and I think that's a thrust of her speech.
The receptive seminar audience consisted mostly of Americans with Cuban roots, U.S.-Cuban policy scholars, and people with stake in better relationships between the two countries. Even the seminar's theme suggests that enhancing the U.S. relationships with Cuba will be good for Tampa, Florida, and America. For WMNF News in Ybor, I am Lenka Davis.